as you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's all stand to our feet and bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious and kind Heavenly Father, we come before Thee this morning in the precious name of Your Son, Jesus, knowing, Father, that You have called us in this hour to a privileged position, and that is to be of those, Father, whom You have revealed Yourself to. You have come down with a shout, and You've given us a message, Father, which has given us a clarity on who You are and who we are, and who Your Son, Jesus, was. And so, Father, we're thankful for what You have done, knowing, Father, that we'll receive our change by the renewing of our mind. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to that renewing in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, in our study of this message of Brother Branham's called The Masterpiece, we'll continue to see how Brother Branham spoke of the Son of God from God's perspective, in what God saw in His Son and the delight that God took in Him. We've also seen in this message how God brought forth His Son and how God perfected Him. And then God stepped into His Son and He cried out, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." Now this morning I'd like to examine more closely something that Brother Branham said in paragraph 78 of The Masterpiece. He said, "Remember Angelo." That's Michelangelo. Michael is the first name, Michael. "Remember Angelo could only cry out and smite the image and say, 'Speak.' But how different it was to God, the great sculptor, when He made a man in His own image so perfect that it reflected Him. God spoke through the image of man, showing what He would be. He spoke to the prophets as they were in their potential image, as He was bringing it up to the head. But when He come in the head, He was all the image of God. He was portraying Himself. Then smitten for us, now He is the masterpiece to us, the gift of God, Jesus Christ, eternal life." I hope we never forget that. Excuse me. Now the thought that he said here, "But when He come in the head, He was all the image of God. He was portraying Himself." This thought is so different from what has taken over modern Christianity that it bears looking into. After all, Brother Branham's understanding of the Godhead in no way conforms to the Trinitarian concept that was incorporated from the pagan Babylonian triad during the time of Constantine and the Council of Nicaea. Constantine wanted harmony among the Christian people, and there had grown two factions in the Christian movement that took strong stands on either two extreme points. One believed in a Unitarian concept of God, as Brother Branham said, in one God, and the other believed in the Trinitarian concept borrowed from the Babylonian triad. Under Constantine, the Trinitarian concept prevailed and soon became the standard theological treatise concerning the Godhead. In other words, the Trinity took over. Basically, the masses of numbers of people won out. William Branham, prophet of God, said that the Trinitarian belief is of the devil, from his sermon, Revelation chapter 4, part 3, Throne of Mercy. He said, "Now, my precious brothers, I know this is a tape also. Now, I don't get excited. Let me say this with godly love. The hour has approached where I can't hold still on these things no more. It's too close to the coming, see? Trinitarianism is of the devil. I say that thus saith the Lord. Look where it come from. It come from the Nicene Council when the Catholic Church become a rulership. The word Trinity is not even mentioned in the entire book of the Bible. And as far as three gods, that's from hell. There's one God." That's exactly right. Now those are strong words, but they're backed up by "thus saith the Lord." So for those men who stand against William Branham for saying this, they have taken their stand with Satan himself. And no wonder, because if they were to acknowledge William Branham as God's prophet, they would have to accept this as "thus saith the Lord." And they'd have to change their complete concept of the Godhead. They'd have to admit that all their theology was in vain. All their training was in vain. That they were taught to worship Satan. But since they are so entrenched in their false religion, they could in no way any longer acknowledge the truth when it came along. And then what about the Unitarian, the Jesus only, the UPC? Well, let's listen to what Brother Branham had to say about them. From Revelation chapter 1, he said, "Now, at the Nicene Council, they come to two great decisions on the, oh, many of them in that day, in the early church fathers, they had two extreme views. One of them was a triune God, a Trinitarian. And the other one was a one God. And they both come into existence and went out onto straight limbs, out like that." And Brother Branham kind of shows his arms out like that. Well, what is that? That's a cross. That's how they crucified the Word afresh. The triunity became a place of three-God person. And the oneness became a Unitarian, just as far wrong as the other one was. So they both went on limbs. But right in here reveals the truth. Now listen to what he says. Right in here reveals the truth. Jesus could not be his own father. There it is. Now notice where he said the truth laid. He said Jesus could not be his own father. Therefore, if the oneness or Unitarian concept is just as far wrong as the other one was, and the other one, he said, was of the devil, then would not the other one be just as much of the devil? Wouldn't both be of the devil if they're both just as far wrong? And he said that's a lie from out of hell. Now, William Branham, vindicated prophet of God, said both the Trinity and oneness were wrong. Now, you can't be wrong and be right at the same time. Then why do people in this message who claim to follow William Branham think that the oneness were okay, except for, of course, they didn't accept Brother Branham? But their understanding of the Godhead was right. Their understanding of baptism was right. They're wrong. One word off is Satan's kingdom, and since the concept of God in a Trinity is of the devil, then the Unitarian belief must also be of the devil as well. The Muslims believe in a one God. The Jews believe in a one God. And yet they crucify the Son of God. Therefore, this thought that we will examine this morning bears looking into if we're to understand better the relationship between the Father and his uniquely born Son. Now, William Branham, prophet of God, vindicated by God, said in paragraph 75 of this sermon, The Masterpiece, he said, "But when he come in the head, he was all the image of God. He was portraying himself." Now, if you have a oneness mindset, then when you read this, it will sound to you that God became his own masterpiece. But that is not what he's saying. Not at all. When Brother Branham is saying here, what he's saying here is that when God came into this image that he made, God acted out in such a way through that image that when you saw the actions of that image, you saw God. He said, "When you see me, you see the Father." And when you heard that image, you heard God, because that image became a perfect reflector of God. In 1 John 5 and verse 10 we read, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar." Now, how'd you like to stand at the judgment face to face with God and knowing that you called God a liar? "He that believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." So those who do not believe that there was a real person that was the Son of God, as distinguished from the person that was God the Father, has not believed the record that God said, "This is my beloved Son." And therefore, they are calling God a liar. Now, woe unto him that would call God a liar. I wouldn't want to stand in that man's shoes on the day of judgment. Now, I'm getting back to what Brother Branham said. He said, "I want you to notice those words. He was portraying himself." That's what he said. He was portraying himself. When God entered into that masterpiece, then it became the full image of God, and he was portraying himself. Now, there's nothing funny about what Brother Branham is saying here. He said, "But when he come in the head..." In other words, the masterpiece came forth, and then God entered into that masterpiece. Then he was all the image of God. In other words, when the fullness of the Godhood entered into him at the River Jordan, then the image became all the image of God. So when God stepped into that body and began telling the Son what to do and what to say, and where to go and where to speak, then God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And when God was in Christ working and acting, then God was portraying himself in that body. When I wrote the Melchizedek study years ago, I said at that time, I believe that God was in his son, showing his son what to do, what to say, what doctrine to preach, etc. In essence, God was in his son, showing him how to act out his role as an obedient son. And furthermore, I believe that Jesus said about the things that he could do and could not do. And when Jesus healed on the Sabbath day because God told him where to go and who to pray for and what to do and then what to say, we find the Jews wanting to get rid of him. Now think about that concept. God was in his son, showing his son how to act out his own role as a son. How different is that from a father showing his son how to be an obedient son? The only thing is, you can't enter into him, but you can place your mindset into him, you see. And through, how did Jesus learn obedience? Through the things that he suffered. How do any sons learn obedience? Through the things that they suffer, you see. So the concept is there. God working out, showing his son how to be an obedient son. Showing him how to play out his role as a son should be played out. In John 5 and verse 16, we read, And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done those things on the Sabbath day. Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them. He said, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Now what's he saying there? He's saying, how could I heal anybody? I'm just a man. But it's my Father that's working. And thus I'm working hitherto. I'm doing what my Father's showing me to do. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now notice that Jesus never said that he was God, but that God was his Father. And it was the Jews that said he was making himself equal with God because he said God was his Father. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, we see the same thing all over again. In John 10 and verse 32, Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? And the Jews answering him said, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him, whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? I want you to catch what Jesus says next. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. If God isn't here proving that my words are true, then you don't have to believe them. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. I find the very same scenario with William Branham. He stood there, and he said, How can you say that I'm a prophet? Now, how can you say that the gift never fails and yet deny what I teach? They try to say, well, you know, he wanted to change offices. He never changed office. A prophet is a teacher. A prophet is an expounder of the word. And to show that he has the right word, God backed up everything he said. What Jesus is saying here, he says, look guys, you don't take my word for it. You don't have to. But look at the works. No man can do what I'm doing. And it isn't me that's doing it. It's my Father that's dwelling in me. He does the works. They are his works, and no man can do those things. You know that. But true to form, these sons of the devil, they didn't care what this man was doing. Or, They didn't care that he could do what no other man could do. He was challenging their authority, and they didn't like it. And that is why they tried to stone him. And in St. John 5 and verse 19, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, the Father doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself is doing. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel." So you see, Jesus was only doing what the Father showed him by vision to do. Therefore, the things Jesus was doing were actions based on what he saw the Father doing. You think it was any different with Brother Branham? The hat had to be on the chair. He had to wait until a certain person was sitting in a certain chair. Hat was on the chair. Other person was in the other chair. Then, in the vision, he was told what words to say. And so when all those things were lined up, then he said what words were to be said. And guess what? The person was healed. Who was doing the healing? God. You see, he was watching what his Father was showing him to do. So you see, Jesus was only doing what the Father was by vision showing him to do. Again, we see in John 5 and verse 30, Jesus said, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me." Now, in examining how that God was in Christ, showing Jesus what to do and what to say, we have seen the scripture that shows us that Jesus only did what God showed him to do. In other words, his actions were a result of what he saw God was doing in vision. And Brother Brown taught us that actually what Jesus saw was in a vision, what God was doing. From the message of Jehovah Jireh, he says, listen to what he said, St. John 5 and 19. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself, but what he sees the Father doing, that doeth the Son likewise." Is that what he said? "I do nothing till the Father shows me a vision first what to do." Well, you say, was that just for John 5, 19? Jesus said, "I do nothing but what the Father first shows me what to do." Now we know how Jesus operated. He operated by visions. Now, in understanding that Jesus was dependent upon visions from God, let's look next at what he spoke. Let's take a look for a moment at those scriptures that tell us that Jesus spoke only what God told him to speak. In John chapter 8 and verse 38, he said, "I speak that which I have seen with my Father." I've seen with my Father. What's that? A vision again. "And you do that which you have seen with your Father." Notice that Jesus again is telling us here that even the things that he spoke were given to him by God, who showed him in a vision what to say. Now, it was no different with what Brother Branham did. God would show him in the vision and then tell him what to say and follow. He'd follow up with, "Thus saith the Lord." But Jesus didn't have to follow with, "Thus saith the Lord," because he said, "My Father told me to say these things." Again, we read in John 8:28, "Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak those things." So here we see that Jesus was dependent upon the Father to teach him first what to say, so he could then say those things to us. You see, Brother Branham said the same way with the prophets and the messengers of each age. God would take the messenger, he'd take him aside and teach him. Then he would go forth and teach others. And then those who were faithfully taught would take what they were taught and go out and teach others. Again, in John chapter 12, verse 49, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak." Jesus was not sovereign in the things that he said and the things that he taught, but he was commanded by God what to say and what to teach. Then in the next verse we hear Jesus say in John chapter 12, verse 50, "And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Now notice that Jesus stated his reason for repeating what God told him to say. He said, because the commandments are life. We think of commandments like, you know, if Dad tells me what to do, that's a commandment, you know. We take it wrong. Jesus said, the commandments of my Father are life. If you just sit back and look, all of you have had a father, or you wouldn't be here. And when you go through a certain time frame, about 16 to 25, somewhere in there, you go through this time of where the nest feathers are kind of pulled out, you're given a little bit of rope, and you go out and you hang yourself. And you just about do it every time. But after about 25, you start to smarten up, and you start to think, you know, I could have avoided an awful lot of grief if I just listened to Dad or Grandpa, listened to my elders. So if you're smart, when you're young, James, you'll listen to everything your dad tells you, and you'll avoid those pitfalls. You won't make the mistakes. You won't. You'll avoid them. And that's what Jesus said. I listen to my Father. He tells me what to say. These commandments, he said, they're not grievous. They're life. They're life. They'll spare you an awful lot of headache and heartache. Again, we see in John 14 and verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And again here we see that Jesus is letting us know that the words that he spoke were done by his Father that was dwelling in him. That is what made him different from a prophet. A prophet said what God told him to say. But since God was in Jesus showing him what to say, then Jesus did not have to say, thus saith the Lord, as God's prophets did. But since God was in Jesus doing and speaking, then it was God's voice to the people. In Jehovah Jireh, Brother Branham said, that's the reason people couldn't understand him. Sometimes it was Christ speaking, or sometimes it was the Son speaking. Other times it was the Father speaking. He was a dual person. He was one man, the Son. But God was in, which was tabernacling in him. But what did he do? He didn't go around and saying, I'm the healer. Very contrary. He said, I'm not the healer. He said, it isn't me that does the works. It's the Father that dwelleth in me. It's my Father that dwelleth in me. And in St. John 5:19, when he was questioned for passing a whole bunch of crippled, lame, withered, halt, blind people, healed one man laying on a pallet, the Father showed him to go there and to heal. He walked away and left the rest of them laying there. And they questioned him. A man packing his bed on the Sabbath day, listen to what he said in St. John 5:19. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself, but what he sees the Father doing, that doeth the Son likewise. Is that what he said? I do nothing till the Father shows me a vision first, what to do. And as for his doctrine, Jesus said in John 7, in verse 16, Jesus answered them, and he said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I'm speaking of myself. Paul tells us in the book of Hebrews that God called Jesus to the Melchizedek priesthood. And then Paul informs us that Jesus had to learn obedience to this calling. Therefore, we can see that God played out the role of Melchizedek in the Old Testament for the purpose of giving instruction to his son, that when Jesus came to the place of maturity, he would take over this role of high priest and follow in the example of his own father. And that is why we see so many scriptures where Jesus admits that he can do nothing and says nothing except what God showed him to do and what to say. Thus, in getting back to our text, we hear Brother Branham say, but when he come in the head, he was all the image of God. He was portraying himself. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, knowing that you were in your Son, and that you stepped into that masterpiece when you saw that he had come to perfection, that he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and once he was perfect, you stepped into him, and you cried out, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Thus, God, you God, were in your Son Jesus, reconciling the world back to yourself. And so, Father, we recognize Jesus to be our older brother, having come forth in the fullness of time, And Lord, now in the fullness of our time, we are coming forth. And Father, we pray that your divine presence, your divine Godhood might enter into us, that we too, Father, might be obedient sons, saying and doing and thinking only that which you would have us to say, do, or think. May we surrender our will unto thee as Jesus surrendered his will unto thee, that you might lift us up and glorify us, Father. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you.